reading this morning is from the Gospel according to Luke, Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12 and 36 through 48. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Now we go to verse 36. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you so troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." This is the word of the Lord.
This is the central event in history. We can't overemphasize how important and significant is this day and the things that happened on the day that we celebrate. The way that our society and culture acts, you'd think that Christmas was the big day, and Christmas is an important day for us, but it's like if you're running a marathon, Christmas is when the runners all line up at the starting line, and the race is about to begin. They're there. They've arrived. And then the race begins, But the point of the race is the finish line. And you might say that Jesus' ministry and all the things that he said and taught and all the signs and wonders that he revealed was the marathon of his life as he was engaged in the race. And then he comes to the finish line, and we say, well, Good Friday is like the finish line, where Jesus said, it is finished. The marathon is finished, and the curtain was torn, and Jesus died on the cross for the sins of the world. But after a marathon, before the winner is announced, they have to check to make sure that everything was done right. Did this person break any of the rules? Did this runner, like you hear sometimes happens, cheat by getting a ride on a pickup truck partway? You know, was it for real? And it's, you wait for the certification of the victory. And that is what we have here today. If Jesus had died on the cross and be buried in a tomb and be left there to experience what happens to all of our loved ones who die and return to the ground and that's the end, then there would have been a great disappointment 3 days after Good Friday. Because it would have said death has not died. Hope has not been born in the world again. But on Easter Sunday, what happened was the victory of Christ was certified and proven by his resurrection from the dead. And so we and the church of all ages gather to celebrate the fact that our Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. And why do we hope? And why do we preach? And why do we sacrifice? And why do we serve? And why do we profess? And all of this stuff. The reason that we do it is because Jesus has risen and he is alive and we have life and hope because of that. This is it. Now, with Easter being so central, so important, so wonderful, does it ever strike you as you read the Bible and you read the stories of Jesus' betrayal and his suffering and his death and his resurrection, how compact all these narratives are, how almost terse they are? There's so few details given to it. I have all kinds of questions that I wish I had an answer to. What was it like for Jesus to die? We have no one that we can ask that question of. People who die in our families and in our friends and in our experience are not available to us to ask what was that part of the journey like. And we like to hear from people who have had near-death experiences, and we buy the books about people who have had near-death experiences, and we say, oh, we want to know. We're so curious. But we have to admit that all those books are people really who almost died. If they had really died, they'd be dead. But they're not. Jesus was somebody who actually, truly experienced death and was resurrected. Jesus, tell us. Come on, fill us in. We're curious. Doesn't say anything about that at all. I wonder, don't you, what was it like for Jesus to come back to life? Was it like Jesus was laying, they said that he laid him on, it was like a ledge, really, apparently, and that these tombs were caves and there were ledges carved in where the bodies would be laid out on them and they'd be all wrapped. And was it like Jesus woke up from his sleep? Was he kind of slowly, oh, wow, and then takes the things off that are binding him and kind of, you know, gives his neck a crick because he's been in that position for 3 whole days? Or was it like Jesus was like a zap, like where he's alive. Suddenly he went from death to life, and it was just an instant, and it was almost startling for Jesus. I don't know. It doesn't say, but I'm really, really quite curious. I wonder, Jesus was in the grave for 3 days, Friday and Saturday, and then Sunday on the day he was resurrected. His body was there in the tomb, but where was his soul and his spirit? Where was he, like some people say, that he went down into hell so he could preach to the souls that were in bondage down there? Or was it that Jesus actually went to be with his Father in his spirit, like our beloved dead have gone to be with God in their spirits? And then he returned to his body on Easter Sunday. Which one was it? And what was that like for Jesus to experience that time separated from his body? I would love to know that. But it doesn't say. What was Jesus' resurrected body like? It says that very clearly. Our text teaches us that he ate, that he could be touched, that he was recognized. But there was also something different about it. Jesus all of a sudden appeared in the midst of them. Now they were talking, and suddenly there he is, standing right here. How did that work? What, is there something different about his resurrected body? And will there be something different about our resurrected bodies when Christ returns? Doesn't say. And then we read the Bible and the resurrection accounts, and we hear that often Jesus' friends didn't recognize him. The people on the way to Emmaus, they walked with Jesus for miles, talking about what had happened and about the scriptures, and Jesus opened their mind to understand all these things, but they didn't recognize him. It was only in the breaking of the bread that they recognized who he was. Does that mean that there's something about Jesus' resurrection body? Is there something about the minds, the perceptions that God let them see and or not recognize Jesus at the time? So many questions. I think some of these questions, I think that when I go to my reward, and if I'm having some one-on-one time with Jesus, which I expect to have, by the way, I'm going to say, "Jesus, I got some questions. I've just been so curious about this. Can you tell me?" And I think he might tell me. I think more likely I'm going to realize that all my questions are just unnecessary, and I won't even bother with those kind of questions. There's so many more beautiful and powerful things to talk to Jesus about. But what we need to know, what the Lord says, this is important for you, has been made known. The things that you should know, that you need to know, are laid out for us. What are the things that we need to know? Well, the fact that Jesus is Lord. You need to know that. That there's lots of people and lots of things that claim the right to be the Lord of your life, to be the number one, the most important thing. And what is revealed to us on Easter Sunday is that all those things that are not Jesus are not worth being the Lord of your life. If you want to know what the message of Easter is, it is that there is one Lord for you, and his name is Jesus Christ. Second thing that we have to know, which is important for us to know, is that Jesus is alive. It's become fashionable in our day and age to say, well, Jesus, he's an interesting idea. He's a really good example of, you know, that if you want to, you know, love your neighbor as yourself and you want to be moral and kind, that's all good, and that's all that Jesus is. He's a philosophy. And what Scripture says and what we have to know is Jesus is not a mere idea, that he is a living person. He is alive. We've been singing all about that this morning. He's alive, he's alive. Thank God Jesus is alive. Because if he's not alive, then all of our hope is based on a myth, based on a lie, based on a fabrication, based on dreaming in the sky, but not based on fact. And the fact is, the witnesses confirm it. The Spirit convicts us of the fact that Jesus is alive and that it matters. It matters to us that he is alive. We don't serve an idea. We serve a living Lord. We need to understand that Jesus is resurrected. When we talk about hope and we talk about dreams for the future, that our dreams are not simply that we dream that our legacy will live on in our descendants. Our dream is that with our descendants and with our ancestors, all who knew and loved the Lord Jesus as the living and resurrected Lord, is that we will be resurrected together and that we will live on an earth that has been made new, that the price of evil has been paid and is wiped away, and we will live with the Lord forever. So there is a resurrection happening, and because we believe in the resurrection, creation matters. We talk about earth keeping and climate concerns and all the things that we do, and we've been talking as a church about what we're trying to do to be good caretakers of the earth and the environment. And it's not because we're aging hippies. It's not because it's a fad to suddenly care about the environment. It's because the Lord cares about our environment, and the Lord cares about our bodies, and the Lord cares about all this physical stuff that he has made. And so we care because of Easter, because the Lord has shown the value and the ongoing care that he has for the creation, and we know that we are called to be stewards of it. We learn on Easter Sunday that the Word of God is fulfilled. We call ourselves people of the book, right? That the Bible is an inspired message from God to us that we might know him, that we might understand ourselves who we are, and we might know how we are to live and serve and work in this world. That's what the Bible is. And we say it's a message from God that is dependable, so we will attend to it. And it is fulfilled in Christ. We've talked about how the whole point of the whole Bible is ultimately about Jesus. Jesus coming to correct the horror of sin so that we, transformed by his grace, might live and work for the future of blessing. And it's fulfilled in Christ. And so we continue to honor the Word of God and read it carefully. And finally, what we learn on this Easter day is that when we repent of our sins and look to Jesus, we are forgiven. I am so far from a perfect person. And you are so far from being a perfect person. Every one of us is neck deep in sin and misery. But when we repent, turn to God, look to Jesus, we are forgiven. You are forgiven because of Jesus. Because he rose from the dead, you know that the Lord you serve has power and he has mercy and he acts to lift you out of the mess that you're in, to clean you up and present you acceptable to the Father, and there you are. We have eternal life. Eternal life doesn't begin on the day that we expire. Eternal life begins on the day that we say yes to Jesus. When we feel the Holy Spirit in us and it nudges us and propels us to say yes to him, that is the beginning of your eternal life. And then what we call death here is more a transfer from one phase of life to another. And another phase yet will happen when the Lord returns and we all are resurrected together and experience life on the renewed earth in our renewed bodies with Jesus. And that's the message of Easter. Eternal life, eternal hope is ours. My prayer for us that Easter is not, you know, one day in April, but that Easter is a lived experience every day of the year. That every day we remember we serve a risen Lord and we are the people of God by his grace, and we have hope because our God is the resurrected Christ. Thanks be to God that we can have this hope and that we can proclaim this truth and sing of it together. Let's pray. Father, we ask you to help us to live like the children of the resurrection. That we look to you, our resurrected Lord, and say, praise be to Christ. We ask that you would give us a holy curiosity, but that it not distract us from the things that you have made known, that you say, this is what you need to know. And may we know it. And may we live it. And may we give you glory.